Don Machholtz, and you are listening to Looking Up with Don. This is the Looking Up with Don podcast, episode number 23, for the week of June 10th, 2020. The related website for this podcast is donmachholtz.com. That is spelled D-O-N-M-A-C-H-H-O-L-Z. .com. Two H's. What's up in the sky this week? As our week begins on Wednesday, June 10th, the bright moon is in our morning sky. By the end of our week, June 16th, the moon will have passed through the third quarter phase this weekend and will be a crescent moon in the morning sky. This is a good week for dark sky viewing in the evening sky and on through midnight. In the morning sky, the moon passes south of the planet Mars on June 12th and 13th. We are finding the planet Venus rising during morning twilight. It passed the sun last week and moved from the evening to the morning sky, where it will remain for several months. I think I understand the habits of amateur astronomers in the Northern Hemisphere throughout the year. I mean, I've done this for years. Winter observing sessions are short. You stay out until you get cold. Knowing that, you plan to observe only a few objects, perhaps some planets or the moon or objects in the winter Milky Way. Your family, your friends, they do not join you. You are there by yourself. You thaw out when you get safely back into the warmth of your house. In the springtime, stargazing sessions last longer, and with the galaxies rising in the east, you have enough to keep you busy. In many parts of the world, the weather has not been good until now, so you catch up on some of the winter objects before they set in the west. You go to bed before the summer Milky Way rises. The Messier Marathon is held in late March, and that may be your first group observing session of the year. Now it is nearing summer in the Northern Hemisphere. We go out this time of the year near the end of twilight and stay up observing until you are too tired to go on, then you go to bed. The nights don't begin until about 10 p.m., even later further north. The summer Milky Way can keep you busy all night long, and these nights are short, about 6 hours. In my early days of comet hunting, the summer evening sessions were the most difficult. I would start at about 10 p.m. and be tired by 11. These evenings, you get the springtime galaxies in the western sky and the summer Milky Way in the eastern sky. And as the night progresses, you get more and more of the summer Milky Way. This week, the planets Jupiter and Saturn are rising at about 11 p.m. This is a good time to get out and see the sky. In the autumn, it gets dark earlier. The nights are still warm, and the summer Milky Way is overhead. Ideal observing conditions. Will you be able to see the International Space Station this week? If you live north of 20 degrees north, it will not be visible this week and well into next week. Between the equator and 20 degrees north, you can pick it up early in the week in the evening sky, then no more appearances. South of the equator, the International Space Station can be seen in the morning sky during the first part of the week, then it switches to the evening sky. To determine where it will be in your sky, you can go to the website heavens-above.com, enter your location, then click on ISS. The Heavens Above website also has information on finding hundreds of satellites, the planets, comets, and just about everything. I want to make a suggestion you might want to try beginning this week. I've done this a few times and it has worked for me. Join an astronomy club meeting by Zoom. Since the Corona-19 restrictions have prevented astronomy clubs from meeting in person, many have taken to Zoom to hold their general meetings. Zoom is a communication software that you can load onto your computer or phone. I've found a few meetings online and invited myself in and have sat in on a few meetings. First, I Googled Zoom astronomy clubs and saw many of the clubs worldwide, by the way, which use Zoom for their general meetings. Then I go through one by one to see when their meetings are held and if they accept guests. Some are for members only, and some allow you to email them in advance to register for the Zoom meeting. So I did that and got registered. At the meeting time, I open the Zoom application and type in the meeting number and the password, which I got from the club. I join to learn. I'm quiet, and I don't speak unless spoken to. I want to know what other astronomers are doing. It helps me to better prepare for these podcasts. I'm also learning more about astronomy and astronomy clubs in general. I discussed local clubs in Podcast 9. I'll put together an update in a few months. And it's not embarrassing to just sit in the corner and listen. But you can ask questions or introduce yourself. Typically, you will be muted, which means they will not be able to hear you. But if you are asked a question, the moderator will unmute you so you can speak. If you want to speak and be heard, there is a button on Zoom to raise your hand and be recognized. You can turn on your video camera, which means that others can see you, or leave it off so they cannot see you. Most people have their cameras on. So give it a try for a limited time only. Once the regular in-house astronomy club meetings resume, your desktop tour of astronomy clubs will be history with some good memories. Now let's talk about comets. Comet Pan-STARRS 2017 T2 is now leaving the bowl of the Big Dipper and headed south in the evening sky. It remains at about magnitude 8.5. Daily positions for that comet and the next two comets are found on Podcast 22, Comet Positions, which you can get from my website. Also on my website, Podcast 22, Maps 1 and 2 show these comets in the northern and southern hemispheres. Two comets are in the southern hemisphere, headed north. First is Comet 2019 U6, Lemon, L-E-M-M-O-N. It was picked up with the Mount Lemmon 1.5-meter telescope on October 31st of last year. Since it showed no cometary activity, it was initially designated as an asteroid. As it moved closer to the sun, it began to show a coma and it was redesignated as a comet. It reaches perihelion next week, June 18th, at 0.91 astronomical units. In our sky, Comet Lemmon retrogrades, that is, it moves eastward and northward into our northern western evening sky in early July at about magnitude 6. The other comet is Comet 2020 F3 NEOWISE. That is spelled all in capital letters NEOWISE. It was discovered by the former WISE satellite, which orbits the Earth. This satellite was used for infrared observations and until the coolant gave out. It has then been repurposed for searching for asteroids and comets 90 degrees from the sun. It picked up this comet on March 27th of this year. The comet has been brightening rapidly. This comet reaches perihelion on July 3rd at a close distance of 0.29 astronomical units from the sun. Now, this is fairly close to the sun. The comet is hidden in the solar vicinity, but if it survives perihelion, it will pop up into our northern morning sky the first week of July. That's just in a few weeks. At that time, it might be as bright as fourth magnitude. Time will tell. I'm just going to throw this out here. I don't have any answers. I'm just asking the question. All of these comets that rapidly brightened in these last few months, Comet Atlas, Swan, Lemon, Neowise, do you think the sun has anything to do with this? Scientists have long reported no correlation between solar activity and comet behavior. But this just seems odd. What's going on? I don't have any answers, just asking. See if you can guess our standout object of the week. This is an object you can see with the unaided eye, binoculars, and a telescope. It's high in our northern hemisphere sky these evenings. This object is a Messier object. It's a globular cluster. It has a nickname which contains the name of the constellation that it is in. It is in Hercules. Too easy? Well, it is known as the Great Globular Cluster in Hercules, also known as M13. This is one of the finest objects in the Northern Hemisphere. It is identified on Podcast 23, Map 1. How popular is it? When I would visit the telescope field during the Riverside Telescope Makers Conference in the 1980s and 1990s, most telescopes were either pointed at the Ring Nebula are this object, this globular cluster. When it is above the horizon, we show it at our public star parties, and we put our largest telescope on it. Look up this Hercules globular, visible in your binocular, known by many astronomer, frequented by the photographer. That's why it's so popular. A globular cluster is a group of stars, usually in the outer regions of our galaxy. These clusters are large, often hundreds of thousands of stars. Gravity holds them together, and they are typically spherical in shape. Globular clusters are old, and there's about 150 known globular clusters in our galaxy. Most galaxies have globular clusters, and with a moderate-sized telescope, you can even see some in the Andromeda Galaxy. The Hercules Star Cluster, also known as M13, is one of the biggest and brightest. It is about 23,000 light-years from us, and was discovered by Edmund Halley in 1714. That's odd. Halley's comet was named after Edmund Halley, even though he did not discover it. It's one of the small handful of comets named after the person who calculated its orbit. And here we have something that Halley did indeed discover. And it has a Messier object number attached to it. Messier did not discover it. He found it decades after Halley found it. M13 has between 300,000 and 500,000 stars, and it's about 140 light years across. This globular cluster is rated at about magnitude 6 and can be seen with the unaided eye under dark sky conditions. So let's do it. Go out this week and use Podcast 23 Map 1 to locate and observe M13. It is more or less between the bright stars Vega and Arcturus. It is in the constellation Hercules. In the center of the constellation, those four stars are known as the Keystone. To the unaided eye, the cluster looks like a small, faint, fuzzy star. You are seeing an object that's 23,000 light years away. This is not a record, as you can probably also see the Andromeda Galaxy, which is 100 times further away. But take a good long look, then look away, then pick it up again. Next time you go out, find it again. Make it a habit to find M13 with the unaided eye whenever it is up. This will sharpen your eyesight. Pony up those binoculars and find M13. Use the star map. With the binoculars, it should be apparent, still a fuzzy object. You will not see any of the individual stars in it. There are 2 7th magnitude stars near the cluster, but they are not part of the cluster. Globular clusters are like that. Lots of fuzz and no stars. But with a telescope, how good M13 appears in a telescope depends in part upon the telescope. For the first 40 years of my astronomy hobby, the largest telescope I owned was a 10-inch reflector, a short focal length, low-power instrument. In 2016, I got an 18-inch reflector, 1/2 meter of light. I could see everything better. But the biggest difference was with the globular clusters. They suddenly popped out, bright, crisp, and I could see many of the stars in the cluster. They looked very crowded, something that did not seem so apparent with my smaller telescopes. 1/2 degree northeast of M13, you might notice a galaxy, NGC 6207. It's about magnitude 11. Look carefully at M13. In the late 1970s, I heard about the propeller and have seen it most of the time since then that I have observed this cluster. The propeller is a three-legged pattern of darkness offset from the center of the cluster. Subtle but visible. And once you see it, you'll see it every time you look at M13. Now for fun with the marathon. The Messier Marathon is best held in March of each year, but it can also be held any time of the year. With the new moon coming up on June 20th, you might want to try a marathon here in mid to late June. From mid-northern latitudes, you can still see about 95 of the 110 Messier objects from dusk to dawn. And get this, within the first 2 hours of darkness, you can see about 85 of those objects. So start at 10 p.m. when it gets dark, and by midnight, you'll have 85 objects, and hang out 4 more hours for the final 10. In 1983, I did a marathon on July 9th and found 96 objects. You begin with M44 and M67 in the west, M68 near Corvus, and then here comes the galaxies, Leo and so on. Then work north and hit those galaxies by the Big Dipper and go straight to the spring and summer globular clusters and around to the summer Milky Way. 85 objects in 2 hours. Your telescope will be smoking hot when you're done with that. Don't burn out those go-to motors. Music under the stars. Some amateur astronomers prefer to observe the heavens in quiet. I get that. Quietness allows the mind to roam. Without audio cues, there's no track of time. On the other hand, some astronomers are concentrating so much on what they're doing that any noise is a distraction. Yet others enjoy listening to music. And this is most obvious at private astronomy club star parties. Music from this observer over there, music from this camp over there. The type of music I have heard has varied from country western to electronic music. Even astronomers have wide taste in music. Most popular seems to be the electronic produced long-noted flutes and strings, like the type of music one hears in the planetarium as the lights dim and the stars come out. I'm a radio guy, so I get a variety of mostly easy listening and rock and roll music. The songs that I was listening to while I discovered some of my comets were recorded by Phil Collins, Exile, Don McLean, All for One, Linda Ronstadt, Chicago, and the Buckinghams. For public star parties, music is a distraction, as too much communication goes on between the host, that's us, the telescope operators, and the guest, those who are looking through the telescope. I've never had music during our public star parties for that reason. You have been listening to Looking Up with Don, podcast episode 23 for June 10th, 2020. Once again, the related website for this podcast is donmacholtz.com. That is spelled donmacholtz.com. Two H's. God willing and pod willing, I'll be back next week for another episode of Looking Up with Don. We'll discuss what's going on in the night sky. We'll learn a new constellation. We'll view a double star. And I'll preview the upcoming annular solar eclipse. Thank you for listening. See the sky this week. I'll see you next week.